Hello there. Thank you once again for any who are joining us and are listening to the sermon. My name is Lee Pallister. We're Sovereign Grace Reformed Church in Tiverton. We are gathering in our home to worship the Lord this evening. And we pray God's word may be a blessing to you. Of course, we would desire to be at a church, in a church building, but we cannot do that at the moment because of the restrictions put upon us because of the virus. But we pray that God's precious word may be a blessing to you. Our reading for today is based upon Psalm 46. Let's just familiarize ourselves with that psalm. Psalm 46. We read it earlier. We'll be concentrating on the first five verses of Psalm 46. It's to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alma. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And so I've entitled today's sermon, God the One True Refuge. God is our one true refuge. Friends, whilst we are here in this life, here down below, hardship, trouble, and disappointment are never far away. Of course, as we've learnt of late, the COVID-19 virus, the coronavirus, as it were, the circumstances of late remind us of that very fact. And those high and mighty things, those mountains, as it were, those great institutions, those high institutions and the systems of this world to which the nations of the world look to for refuge are literally now disappearing before the people's eyes. The things that the people put their trust in, and we see governments and kingdoms and head of states in meltdown, in literal meltdown, over recent events that have happened around the world. Millions of people around the world are losing their livelihoods, they're losing their jobs, and they're losing their health. And not necessarily as a result of the virus. The virus actually itself, in contrast, is actually not the result of all these people losing their jobs. Relatively few people, comparatively speaking, are suffering from the virus. It's the consequences, it's the panic and the fear and the anxiety that is bringing so much loss. A third of the planet is in lockdown. Heads of state, prime ministers, queens and kings, presidents, chief scientists and senior officials are doing their utmost to try to reassure the people, to reassure them that everything's okay, that their confidence in these man-made institutions, in these systems, will not fail them. Things will carry on as usual. And so these heads of state are trying to run around ensuring that things will continue as usual. And yet, of course, we see fear, don't we? And uncertainty and worry. How can these great and high institutions and systems and mountains, as it were, that we so come to rely upon, fail us? And people say, well, how can all these things, how can all the economies of the world just be shut down? And people are losing their livelihoods and their incomes. I heard that it is causing many domestic issues as well. People are committing suicide, and lots of terrible things are happening as people lose their livelihoods and their incomes, and businesses are going under. What will become of many people's plans? And these providences ought to be a timely reminder for us of where we need to go for our refuge. What is our true foundation? Is it in the things of this earth? Or is our foundation in something which doesn't change, which is immovable? Our text today says, God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Such unprecedented times should make us all take a few steps back, shouldn't it? And to make us truly reflect and put things into perspective, to reflect on if we're truly trusting in Christ, because we will always have troubles in this life. There will always be difficulties and storms in life. Is your life on a movable foundation? Can I ask you a question? Is my life, is it on a movable foundation? What are you trusting in life? I don't know if you've noticed when speaking to people of late, but when I've spoken to many people of late, a solemnity and quite a shock has come over people. Many people are quite frankly stunned with what has happened around the world. And there's a kind of a seriousness, a solemnity, and a shock that has come over them. They have been in awe of actually what has happened to them. And so this pandemic has come in so suddenly. 4 weeks ago, we were just living our lives as normal. And yet, a bit like described in Psalm 46, like an earthquake or like a great storm, it has come in, as it were, and shaken the foundations, shaken the things which people have put their trust in. It has caught many people by surprise, hasn't it? And many people have been caught off guard. It has removed what many people put their confidences in and their hope in, earthly aspirations, earthly things. As we see governments around the world trying to put man's shaken confidence at ease. They're trying to do everything to reassure the people that these great institutions, these economies, these things that you have in your life, everything will be fine. And they're trying to restore people's confidence in these things. And yet, of course, they cannot do these things as economies are shutting down, as fear spreads, and all these things. People are losing their businesses and their livelihoods. They cannot do these things. In the UK, our government is telling us that they will do whatever it takes to combat this swelling problem. If that means to trample all over orthodoxies, what people believe in, people's rights, the rights to earn an income, the rights to provide for one's home, the rights to believe and to worship, all those things have got to now be trampled on, as it were. Billions and billions in the UK are now being spent to try combat what is going on, and trillions in America to try to combat this problem. And like I said, relatively few people, comparatively speaking, are actually dying from this virus. It's the consequences, the actions which are being taken, the fear of what's happening is causing this. And we need to remember that many within developed countries have forgotten about God. They have forgotten about their Maker and have put their trust in the creature rather than the Creator. I know a lot of people will be suffering as a consequence of what's going on out there. And I know there are lots of people out there who are going through very difficult times, and I don't want to discredit what you're going through, and I don't want to be unkind, because we all are suffering and going through the difficult times because of this. And so I don't want to rub salt into the wounds, as it were. However, we need to learn from this that if we make a refuge that is built upon the sinking sands of this present world, that they will surely fail us. The broken systems of this world will never ever satisfy the longing soul. So if I can ask you a question, are you at a Red Sea moment in your life? Are you at a Red Sea moment in your life? You think about the children of Israel when being pursued by Pharaoh and being pursued by Pharaoh's army, and they were brought to the sea's edge, and there's no way out. There's no way out for them. And trouble was all around them. There's no way out. Are you at a Red Sea moment? I remember, for me, on a personal note, that actually one of the first Red Sea moments I had in my life was actually during my conversion, was just prior to my conversion. It helped me actually it was instrumental in saving me. And sometimes we can be so stubborn that we cannot listen to the silent voice of conscience in our hearts. We could be so stiff-necked and stubborn. And so God has to often bring us low to make us understand of our depravity and our great neglect of our Maker. And I can say that it was true of me. Are you in trouble? Are you compassed with a load of care? I would say to you, turn from your sin and your great neglect of your Maker and your love of the vanities and the things of this world and the things that you live for in this world. Turn from them and live and look to Christ and live. Do we not see an ocean of worldly and noisy, roaring distractions literally being sunk before our very eyes? Bars and pubs and nightclubs and theatres and cinemas and great sporting venues and stadiums and events are literally being shut down across the world. All these things, all these vanities and distractions the people of the world are used to try to drown out the voice of conscience, are literally being shut down before our very eyes. And may it remind us of verse 10 of today's psalm. Verse 10 comes to mind: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Put away the inventions, the imaginations, and the things that you, the idols that you set up in your hearts. The reason why we see all these entertainments and these things around us is because we have set those things up in our hearts. There's a demand for them. We have got the king that is after our own heart, as it were. And God has given us over to our own lust. And that's why we see all these things. All these things that the people and the nations of the world put their confidence in, they have come to nothing. And God, it is at about time that we turn and that we understand that we need to bring out our Bibles, that we need to be still and to reflect on our great neglect of our Maker, and turn to the one true God in our distress. The host of worldly distractions and vanities are being carried away, as it were, into the midst of the sea. God is our strength, however, to bear us up under our burdens. He will by his grace put strength into us if we would truly turn from our sin and repent, and we would stay on him. And then there will be hope. God is our refuge, to whom we may flee, in whom we may be safe and secure. when the storms of life come rolling in. He will be our refuge. In the days of the Bible and biblical days, wise shepherds used to hide their sheep and their flocks in the cleft of the mountains. When they used to see the storms coming rolling in, they used to take their sheep and their flocks and hide them in the cleft of the rock, in the mountains, and in the rock. And so when the storm would come in, the sheep would be okay. The sheep wouldn't be on the plain and scattered around, of course, being prey for wild animals and things, and those things, they were hid in the rock. Almighty God is a tried and a tested refuge and rock and help that will never ever fail you. You flee to that foundation, that rock, that immovable rock, and he will never ever fail you. Don't be scattered about and tossed about by the waves of this passing life. It says in Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. A cornerstone. This is the cornerstone, of course, the Jews rejected. And of course, most of the world have rejected. And this stone is the stone which we are to build our life upon. If our lives are not built upon this stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, this rock, as it were, what are our lives being built upon? The sinking sands and the fleeting words of men and the inventions of men, people and the nations of the world have put their trust in. The Lord Jesus Christ and his most precious gospel of redemption is what we need. He has been and forever will be a sure foundation to those who believe in him. As a contrast, those that make haste to set up refuges and lying vanities and shelters will not stand when the waters overflow these God-rejecting hiding places. They will not stand. We can turn to our Bibles in Isaiah 28:17-18. We turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 28:17-18. It reads as follows. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding places, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. If we make the things of this world our refuge, surely they will come to nothing. Have you noticed in the psalm that every great earthbound foundation will not be moved? Every great earthbound foundation will not be moved. It says, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah, you will be moved, and that suddenly, if you depend upon movable foundations, the things men and women and children set up, the things that people set up in this life in rebellion against God, are those high and mighty things to which you look to within the earth, in days gone past, disappearing now before your eyes with this virus and the things that are going on? Do you look to the things of this world, the passing, fleeting things of this world? Do you look to men of this world and the things of men to this world? Or do you look to Christ as a refuge? The systems of this world will fail you. You see people clawing, as it were, onto this God-rejecting ship, this sinking ship called earth, as it continues to sink into sin, and they're clawing onto it, as it were, trying, as it were, to get any last things on it. Isn't it sad to see people overcome with fear and anxiety, still looking to the world for carnal saviours, looking for within self, and looking within the things of the world. People are looking to their government, aren't they, and crying to the state instead of crying to the Saviour. People are making idols and gods out of the NHS and the things of this world. Every week, my family and I, every week see, for a few weeks now, are seeing people standing outside their homes, clapping health workers and putting their hope in them as if somehow they are saviours. And yet the truth of the matter is that the keys to life and death are not in their hands. They're in God's hands. They cannot do anything. Ironically, they applaud those to whom they know absolutely nothing about. Think about it. They applaud those who they know absolutely nothing about. And they're just holding on, as it were, to any vestiges of man's self-worth and self-reliance. We will not depend upon God. We will not look to Him. We'll keep on looking to our institutions, to the NHS, to the government. They will bail us out. They will come to our rescue. But of course, they will not. And yet, the many that applaud and many the many they applaud and make heroes and gods out of men and institutions continue to reject God in their lives, and increasingly they seek to drown out the voice of conscience in their homes. They cannot go to the pubs and the bars and the sports venues and the entertainment venues and the cinemas and the theatres anymore. So now they'll watch TV more. Now they'll hit the bottle more. And of course, alcohol is on the increase. And of course, viewing is up. More and more people are watching more TV. And of course, they need to ever distract the voice of conscience. They cannot be still and think about God. And so the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ, He is the only one that suffered and died for sinners. He gave us His spotless and perfect life for us. And yet, where is His applause? Where are the people standing and clapping for Him and praising Him? Where is His honour due to His name? See here the great contradiction the world has, the great rejection people have in the world towards God. And those that with a holy reverence truly fear God need not with amazement be afraid of the power of hell and of death and of earth. If God be for us, who can be against us? Of course, those that have not the fear of God within them will tremble when they see the high and mighty mountains, the institutions, the things of this world, the economies of this world, the pleasures of this world, those things which they've given themselves to. They will tremble when they see these confidences falling and coming to nothing. And this, dear sinner friend, is just the prelude. This is just the start of what will come, of what will soon come on the day of judgment. This is just the beginning of what will come on the day of judgment. Christ lives today, and He is coming back soon. He is coming back, and this time He is coming back with purifying fire on that day of judgment, and which one of us will be able to stand before Him and quench that fire. He is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. He is coming, and whose righteousness are we trusting? Are we trusting in our own righteousness, in man's righteousness, and what the government tells us and what the people of the world tell us in the systems and the things that we've made up? Or are we trusting in God's righteousness through Christ? Are those to whom have made a refuge and a God of the creation will soon feel the heat of his holy indignation. Those who live for the creature instead of the creator. The Bible says that God is angry at the wicked every day. He will revenge the great indignation done to his most holy name, who flaunt their lives in isolation to him. He is coming back, and he will revenge those, his creation, those who live a life apart from him, in isolation from him. He will revenge the great indignation done to his holy name. He has given us everything, and yet we live our lives as if he doesn't exist. The oceans, the mountains, the hills, the fields, the beauty of God's creation, we see all around us, and that which we enjoy. Many do not acknowledge their Maker in these things, and nor are they thankful towards their Maker. And they are not thankful towards him. To him will come, to those will come suddenly, will be taken away as a thief in the night. He'll come suddenly as a thief in the night, just like we see the events at the moment. And whose things, therefore, for which we have labored for, will those things be? All those things which we labor for, whose things will they be when the Lord comes back? And of course we see all the earthly securities people have laid up for themselves. Within a few weeks, they literally can be taken away. What will those earthly securities and refuges and shelters profit you in the day of reckoning? You know, if the troubles of this life are getting over your head, isn't it about time you realize you are under his feet? You will never find a better helper than in God. Why continue to look to the decaying, fallen creature instead of looking to the eternal, risen Son of God? Why look any further to the things of this fallen, decaying world? To the foundations of this world, this crumbling world, this sin-sick world. God is sufficient for us, for all our need. There is no case so severe or circumstance too trying to which the great physician of souls cannot deliver you from. He can deliver you from it. Are your sins and neglect of God and great trouble, are you overcome by your sins and your neglect? Are you in great trouble? Cry unto him. Don't cry to the state or look to people or things of the world. Cry to him. Cry to him in your trouble. Has God revealed to you your sin? Has that the light of the gospel come shining in so that he has given you an understanding of your depravity and your great neglect of your Maker? And that you have fleen to him. You have looked to him for refuge. When no man will deliver you from your sin, no man will care for your soul, then God will be there to take you up as a father. And not only that, but that he will do right early. He will not delay in saving you if you will cry to him in sincerity of heart. If you truly mean it, if you truly are willing to turn from your sin and make God your refuge in life, a refuge that is not corruptible, that cannot be bribed, that cannot be lobbied, as it were, look to him, an unchanging refuge, which you can always abide in. Are the odds of your sins stacked up? And the consequences of your sin stacked up against you. Oh, how the Lord delights in those who call upon him, especially those who are of a broken and a contrite heart. Are you broken over your sin? Have this week, have you repented of your sins? Have you truly been brought to a state of repentance? Have you wept over your sins? You know, only those truly know of God savingly, who truly weep over their sins, who are of a broken and a contrite heart, that don't look to self, I don't look to any self-efforts, but they look to Christ. Don't look to the things of the world, but they look to Christ alone. And they know of God's forgiveness and God's help and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He will not only protect your soul, he will also make you triumph in him, in his salvation. And when the roaring, proud waves be compassing you around about, and though all creature comforts may fail you, and that which threatens to swallow you up draws nigh into your very soul and to your home, as it did with the sons, for the sons of Korah, for which this psalm was penned, we need not fear. If the eternal God be our refuge, if you have made God your eternal refuge, have you done that? Have you made God your eternal refuge? Are you trusting in him, or are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in what you think is right? Are you trusting in what the nations of the world are telling you are right? And we see the panic and the chaos. We see how people, the confidence of the people, are crumbling around the world. They trusted in what they hear in the media, what they hear of politicians, the changing ideals, which are changing all the time. They are trusting in that. And you see their life, as it were, is being brought to a stop. And what happens when these things are brought to nothing? Well, I would say to you, God is trying to tell you something. Often the Lord does teach us through providences, and that we need to look to that foundation, that rock of our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need not fear if the eternal God be our refuge. Are your sins, the devil and the raging world, too strong for you? They are for me. Are they too strong for you? Well, God is stronger than them all. He is the only one who is able to overcome the world, to overcome sin in the world, to overcome principalities in the world. He is the only one able to be your refuge. Don't look within yourself. Don't look within the world for happiness, for ideals, to other people, to men, to institutions, to ideals. Don't look to those things. They will fail you. The broken cisterns of this life will fail you. God is stronger than all those things, and he will help you overcome these things if you truly seek after him. Does the raging sea of life continue to batter and erode the shore of your heart? The raging sea, all the burdens of this life. And like I said before, this is just the prelude. This is just the start. There are many storms of life. And of course, that great day of judgment does await. God will see to it that the defences of his sovereign grace will not so much as remove a granule of sand from the sure hope of your salvation, which is in Christ. If your hope and belief is in Jesus Christ, if he is number one in your heart, then he will be a sure defence to you. And those who, with a clear conscience and a lively faith in Christ's love for them, will not be removed from the rock of their salvation by the tide of wickedness that seeks to carry them away in the midst of the sea. In the midst of all these things, we see the panic and the chaos, and what we are to be is be still and to draw nigh to our Maker, and know of his concern and his love to us, that there is a purpose in life. There's a meaning in life. There's more than just living for these things. And these circumstances really should bring us to our knees and make us understand that there's more to life. Open up our Bibles, switch off our TVs, pray to God, believe in what he has done on the cross of Calvary for sinners such as us. And though kingdoms and nations be in confusion and tossed about with troubles, yet for the believer in Christ Jesus, there is a river described in this psalm, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. A river amidst these things, a stream, a river. And spiritually, the covenant of grace God has with all true believers is that river, and the promises are the streams of God's grace that flow from it. That river, when we truly, God has revealed to us our sin and our need for him, and we truly are born again from above, and that covenant of grace, we're his, we belong to him, and that ever-flowing river, the still, gentle streams, as it were, overflow us and feed us, as it were. And we don't look to the noisy waves, the proud waves. We don't look to the high institutions and the mountains and the systems of this world, the things that people do. God himself is to the church a place of broad rivers and streams. And we know this from Isaiah 33:21. Believers in Christ and the church can know of joy and peace, even in sorrowful times, by having God as their refuge. And the gentle streams, like those of Siloam, which softly went by Jerusalem. There's a river called Siloam that went gently by Jerusalem. In Hezekiah's time, in Isaiah 22:10, the still waters acted as a defense for them. And God has provided comfort and safety in his word for those whose hearts will be fixed upon him as a refuge. Perfect peace he will give to those, a peace that is not of this earth, a perspective that is not of this earth, a perfect peace. Let those be troubled at the shaking of the mountains and the roaring of the seas, who build their confidence on the earthly unstable foundations of the earth. Let those be troubled at the shaking of the mountains and the roaring of the seas, who build their confidence on earthly and unstable foundations. Those whose treasure is in heaven, where Christ is, will find a firm footing and a sure foundation, not only in this life, but of course for eternity to come. And though angry and malicious the world will be to you, Christian, fear not, for Christ has overcome the world. You will outlive the world, and all the world's troubles will not be remembered any more. That is the great blessing of the Christian. That all the troubles here below will not be remembered when we're with the Lord Jesus in eternity. And those that have God as their refuge and build their lives upon the rock that the builders rejected, that the world has rejected, will be secure. If you're depending upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your refuge, as your defense, you will not be moved. You will not be overcome by these events and future events, by the storms of life. The gates of hell should not prevail against you if you're in Christ. And to end today's sermon, I'll read 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. That's 1 Peter 3. To 5. 1 Peter 3 to 5. Let me just find that in my Bible quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so I pray that everyone that is listening to the truth of this message may have that incorruptible inheritance. They may know of God as their refuge, that they may be in Christ, and may look not to the passing, fleeting things of this world for refuge,